God is good and He's great. He is good, and that's good. But it's even better that He's great, because He has the power then to get His goodness to you, to win against all the opposition. God has to be strong. If he's not great, then goodness doesn't help us. It would be good, but He couldn't get it done. He has to also be great. But if He was great and He wasn't good, then He'd be a devil. So He has to be both. He has to be both. So you have a God that's good and great. And He's good and great for you. He's not good and great for Himself. He's good and great for you. His goodness is toward you. His greatness, His majesty, His might, His power, is all for you. Do you know how much you're loved? Do you know how much He appreciates, loves, adores, dwells on each of you? His thoughts toward you are always thoughts of peace. So He's always thinking of you. Amen? Now don't worry about what things look like. They're deliberately, God knows. He always does His greatest works in some obscure, out of the way place. You ever notice that? His son is born, and there's nobody there. A bunch of shepherds, and of course He brings His own praisers from heaven. But Jesus is born in an obscure, dark, lonely, out of the way place. I would have done it in the capital or at least Jerusalem, but He doesn't. He does it. He finds you when you're alone, when you're isolated, when you're off, not when you're in a big crowd and everything's going your way. It's when you're confused and you're lonely and you're rejected and you don't really see your way clear. That's when He seeks you out. So that's a true God. That would be a good God that knows where all His kids are, knows where all His children are. So you don't have to worry about God. All right, let's look at Hebrews chapter 6. Remember, we started this last week. We went through the beginning, the basic principles, the foundation, Themelion. Themelion is a foundation. This building, the Hilton Hotel, I don't even know how many floors it has. 10, 12, whatever it has, it's kind of tall. I never have even been beyond this floor, so I don't know how tall it is. But it's kind of tall because you can see it. But it has a big foundation. I bet the foundation isn't just, a slab. I bet the foundation goes deep. So the bigger the building, the greater the foundation. So God has told you how to build your life on a rock, on a foundation, not sand. If you build it on sand, then the first flood or storm or whatever, just push your building down. Let's say you build a big building on a little foundation. It won't stay. The first crack or flaw or whatever, it'll just knock it down. So you have to have a really strong foundation. There are six foundation stones to your faith. This is called the doctrine of Christ. The Logon, the discourse, the intelligent, meaningful language of Christ. So what is it? It's the gospel, of course. What is the gospel? Who knows the first one? Repentance from dead works. Number two, faith in God, the Almighty. You have to have faith in God, in His Word. Number three, the doctrine of baptisms. You have to have faith in the doctrine of baptism. Everything's going to in the building has to rely upon these six. So we've got three of them. Then number four, laying on of hands. Setting aside the consecrating of you for sanctification, for ministry, for not just believing, but for actually doing the will of God. Number five, resurrection from the dead. In other words, you have to believe that after death there's resurrection. This is foundational. You have to believe that death is not the last word. Resurrection is. So when we die, which is what everybody fears death. They don't want to die. But after death, there's resurrection. So that's one of our basic doctrines. What joy there is for us to know that when men reject you, and when things fall down and fall apart, and when your vision dies, that's nothing. That's nothing. That's just the way God always does it. He's just testing it. So whenever you get a word from God, it'll always fail.
Praise God.
Always. Whenever you get a word from God, it'll always fail. First of all, because you weren't prepared. And second of all, because God likes to test you, see if you really believe what he just said. So that's the resurrection from the dead. Dead is good. That's dead to your flesh, and then you rise up alive in the spirit, in his strength. When you're weak, you're strong. And the last doctrine, the last basic doctrine, eternal judgment. Everyone's going to be judged. Everyone. Everything will be judged. And it'll be judged whether it accomplished what it was God originally intended. Now, his original intention for you is what? What was his original intention when you were created? That you should be like Jesus. Okay? So you'd be Christ-like. Spirit, soul, body. In other words, foundation, building, and purpose inside that building. So his original intention was not your original condition. Adam is not the original intention. His original intention for Adam is not that we go back to Adam, even pre-fall Adam. That's not his original intention. His original intention was that Adam would walk in holiness and be Christ-like. Completely lined up with God all the days of his life, never afraid, never worried, never perplexed, always excited, always happy, always bearing fruit, always pleasing God. So in love with God, you don't care about this world. You disregard it. You're not worried about all the stuff that comes against you. You just blow it off. When something comes against you, you laugh. Ha! It's nothing. Ha! It's nothing. Yeah, easy to overcome. So only the overcomers will proceed on. Now today I want you to read the rest of this chapter and see it. His idea was never for you to be born again. His idea was for you to be born again and then sanctified, dead to your old man, and then to walk in love and be led of the Spirit, to be like Christ. So his intention was not just for you to start, but was to continue and then to finish. Those three. Outer court, holy place, holy of holies. The last is, who can get you into the holy of holies? Well, only one can go into the holy of holies. So how are you going to get in? That's easy. You start in the outer court with him through his blood. You have faith in his blood. That's a good start. That's the foundation. The blood of Jesus. That's the doctrine of Christ. That's the good news. You've been forgiven. But now it goes on. You're not just to stop right there, believing in Jesus died for me and all that. That doesn't prove anything. That does not prove anything. What proves something is the pudding. You have to then go on to perfection. You have to go on to maturity. You have to go on to the final, to the finish. And you could be born again and still perish. Now, I know a lot of people don't teach that, but they're wrong. So you can start and not finish. You can start the race, but not finish the race. You can be on the right foundation, going in the right direction, but all of a sudden get discouraged along the way. Oh, this race is too hard. I'm quitting. That was not God's intention. His intention was never that you begin. Gee, look at all the people starting this race. That's not his intention. His intention is that every one of you win in Christ. Since Christ always finishes the race he runs, then If you're in Him, you do too. So that's why we talked about this sixth chapter, which is about Christ, our high priest. Remember, He was an apostle sent by God so He could become the high priest sent back to God with a good account. Yep, I'm bringing Jim with me. Yep, I'm bringing Peg with me. Yep, I'm going to bring Chad with me. Yep, Robin, yeah, you're going with me. So when Jesus goes back, you goes back. You goes where He goes. Because He died for you to start you out. And then to keep you going when you're tuckered out and tired and getting discouraged, He comes along and says, what you doing? Tired. No, it wasn't up to you anyway. That's just your flesh is tired. Your spirit's ready to go. Get up. Come on. And so He just encouraged you to keep going. He's got you in His hand. He's got you in His hand. He never thought you could run the race. He never thought you could even make a start. You'd fall at the starting gate. You wouldn't even have made it. You wouldn't even got out of the womb. There's no way you'd have made it. So He has a plan. Now let's read it in the sixth chapter. Wherefore, having left the beginnings of the Christ discourse, of the doctrines of Christ, the first teachings, first principles, unto the full growth, epitein teleonta. Epitein teleonta. What does it mean? Until, you know, you made a beginning. You started with your first principles, ABCs. You learned to say your name. You learned to write your name at the top of the page. Okay, that's the first principles. But now let's go on until full growth. So teleo or telos means to go all the way to the end. The reason you start first grade or kindergarten or preschool, the reason you start is so you can finish. You're not starting it so you can start it. You're not starting it just so you, that's it. Okay, I'm over. I started. It's done. No, you have to go on to, you know, what do they call primary school, whatever. And then you have to go on to high school. But it's still not the end. Then you have to go on to college. That's still not it. Then you have to go on to lifelong training so you can be mature, become an adult. So all that training and all that schooling is discipline. It's hard to learn. No, it's not. It's really easy to learn if you have a good teacher. We got a good teacher. We have a good teacher, Jesus. So Jesus is teaching you not stuff, but Jesus. He's teaching you about Jesus. He's teaching you about how great He is. What you're learning is how great He is, how not so great you is. But you're only great in Him. You're only good in Him. You're only happy in Him. You're only whatever you are in Him. So your identity creates your capacity, which determines your destiny. So whoever you are is everything. Are you your own? Or do you belong to Him? That's important. Did He first choose you or did you first choose Him? If you chose Him, it won't go anywhere. But if He first chose you, if that's the case, you can't lose. Because He chose you. He selected you out. Now, many are called, but few are chosen. So I hope you're not a beginner, but that you're ready to be a disciple and then to be mature and walk in love. Your family will be renewed. You know, so many people start out the race, but they don't continue. They start, but they don't continue. I don't blame the people. Where are the pastors? Why aren't the pastors teaching the people how to go all the way? And you can't just talk about it, because you're not learning stuff. You're learning Him. You have to, as a pastor or a teacher, you have to be in love, because it's a love affair. It's a love affair. It's a love affair. That's how you learn. You learn through love. That's what you're learning, is that you're His beloved. That's your identity. Oh, yeah, I'm His beloved. No matter what I'm trying to learn, I'll learn it because my Father in heaven knows how to teach me. My Lord Jesus knows how to instruct me. My Holy Spirit, He knows how to enable me and empower me. So I don't have any problem. Because I know if the Father teaches me something and I fail, Jesus will give me a remedial course to get me back redeemed on course, and then the Holy Spirit will finish it off, and I'll get there. So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all three, we need everything that God has to offer. You won't make it without God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's why you're baptized into His name, singular, but it's plural. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It's plural, but it's singular. So you need God. You can sum it all up. You just need God. You need God. You need everything about Him. All right. So you remember all those beginning things. Not laying again. You're going on to full growth. Teleonta. Full growth. They call it perfection. But you should go on to it. Let's go. In other words, it's not just you should. That's a subjunctive, which means let us go on to perfection. You know, having laid the foundation, let's not stop. And this is my main ministry. This is where I break with many, many, if not most, certainly most, other ministers. They just want to get you saved, and that's it. And then, you know, if you become an usher or something, they're pretty happy. Go out witnessing a little bit. But that's extra credit. And if you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's good, and so on. No. It has nothing to do with all that. It has to do with go all the way, which is to be like Christ. When you're done, you shouldn't get done in heaven. You should be done right here. Let's get done here. Let's walk here. The world doesn't need to hear our faith. They need to see our works. They don't need to hear that I believe in Jesus. That doesn't help anybody. Fine, you believe in Jesus. Well, where's the evidence that it changes you? Where's the evidence that it makes a difference? It ought to make a big difference in your marriage. It ought to make a big difference in your family. It should make a big difference in your business. It should make a big difference in your country. It should make a big difference in Texas. It should make a huge difference wherever you are, whatever you're doing. It should be so big that the world can't even comprehend how that worked. You are the light of the world. There isn't any other light. There's no light without you. You say Jesus. Yeah, but they won't even know about Jesus unless you're walking in Him. They can't know about Him because He's gone. He's not here. They could hear about Him, hearing with the hearing of the ear, but they can't see Him with the seeing of the eye unless you're the one walking, talking, doing, acting. So we don't believe in, you know, just kind of going through the rituals each morning on Sunday. We believe you should go all the way with Jesus. And that's going to take more than Sunday morning worship. You actually have to be involved on a continual basis. You have to have a house church. Rearrange your life. Oh, Pastor, you know, I'm just barely making it as it is. Too bad. I don't want to hear any excuses. Too bad. This is not my idea. It's Jesus' idea. Do what you're told or you're not going to make it. Oh, Pastor, that's not fun. That's your flesh complaining. So don't listen to your flesh. Don't give a bad report. Give a good report. Give a spiritual report. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's say it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So you will make it. There's nothing impossible to you. With man, of course, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Anyway, so moving, don't lay again the foundation of dead works, repentance, and faith, and all that. Let's not do that again. Let's go on now. And this we will do, verse 3. If indeed God allows it. In other words, I'm going to teach you this if there's time. There may not be, but time may end. And so Paul said, I pray that I'll stay alive to finish this, or whoever wrote this. And if God permits, I'm going to go further. So let's say God comes back right now. Well, then He didn't permit. It's finished. It's over with. You better have made it today. So this could be your last teaching. So get it today. Don't put it off. Just today. Okay, God, I may not, maybe I'll die today, but let's go as high as I can go right now. Until I'm died, let's get as much as I can possibly get. Now, how many would like to be happy all the time? How many would like to be fruitful all the time? Wise all the time? You know, noted for your faith and your works and your character. And, you know, you should be noted for something where the world says, wow, how'd you do that? Wherever you go, you should break out on the right hand and on the left hand. You should be not only eternally powerful, but temporally awesome. People say, wow, how'd you do that? They don't know that there's an eternal source for it. You tell them that. Oh, that was all Jesus. Well, I don't know about that, but you did good right there. So all they see is your works out here. They don't see the Jesus part. They've never seen God. You're the only God they're ever going to see. If God isn't visible on your face, if He isn't visible on the surface of the envelope, how are they going to know what's inside? So when men see your good works, they'll give glory to the Father in heaven. What if you don't have any? Well, then they won't. If they don't see your good works, they won't give glory to the Father. You know, when I was becoming a Christian, not that it's a process, but when I was looking into it, because I was just a pagan until I became a Christian, then one day I changed. But while I was searching and looking into it, I was just kind of a God-fearer. I was a God-fearer. That's not the same thing as a God-lover. I was just a God-fearer. In other words, I thought, well, maybe there is a God. So I was checking into it. But I wasn't in love with Him. I didn't want to even be a Christian, but in case that was true, I needed to look into it. So I checked it out. I didn't even want God to be real, because then I would be in trouble. And then I'd have to die. And then He'd have to, you know, alter my life upside down to where I was heading. So I hope that violent thing happened to everybody here. We got turned upside down. Oop, upside down. Oop, upside down. He just turned you upside down. And reversed, instead of you being selfish and you being the center of the universe, suddenly Jesus became the center of the universe. I mean, it just upside down my whole life. I was always the important one to me. Peggy was certainly not. I didn't give a rip for what she thought, said, felt, or anything. I'm sorry. I didn't have any kindness in me at all. If she would tell me to be nicer, I would be meaner. I mean, I just said, I didn't care what she thought. Everything was for me. Can you imagine that? That's called selfish. Now I'm the opposite. She's the one that's no good, and I'm good now because of Jesus. Amen? Did y'all see that? Now Peggy's the one that's selfish. I love it. Y'all, you're not laughing. It's Jesus. All it is Jesus. There's no virtue in me. I never had any, and I never will. It's just Jesus. He's my virtue. He's everything. Amen? So at some point, I started out on the foundations, and then I started to grow. I didn't even know you did grow. I built the foundation, thought, well, got that taken care of now. It's just, that was good. I believe in Jesus. And I used to sin like just exactly as I used to sin before. I was a Christian believing in Jesus, but I was still sinning all over the place. And she would point that out. Well, where's the fruit? Where's the love? Where's the caring for others? I don't know. I would say, I don't know. I don't have any fruit. Well, shouldn't you get some? No. No, that's His job. He's just not doing His job. I've done everything I was supposed to do is believed in Jesus. I believed in Him. I'm believing in Jesus. Don't take away my joy. Peg, you're trying to take away my joy. Pointing out my lack of good works. Well, you seem to not be a Christian. No, I am a Christian. I'm just not mature. I'm not mature. Well, when are you going to get mature? Yeah, that's a good question. I think that's the Holy Spirit. He's failed. He's failed to bring it off. Because I'm doing my part, sinning and then believing in Jesus. I'm doing good. So I'm doing my part okay. So, you know, I didn't know how it worked. I was a pastor, and I had to get up in front of my church in 1970 or 71, Peg knows, but at some point. And I said, I'm a phony, I'm a fake, I'm a liar. I'm not doing it right. I just thought of something that's probably not even correct. But at some point, I stood up in front of the church and said I was a phony. Maybe that was before I was a believer. But anyway, and when I became a believer, I still didn't have it. I thought, man, how many deals you got to go through? How many hoops for this croquet set? You know, how many things do I have to go through to get there? Looks like it's longer than just believing in Jesus. I had that scripture, only believe. I felt that was enough. Now, some of you also believe that. I would say most of you believe that. The only thing you have to do is believe in Jesus, and then you can go on sinning. That's not true. Now, I'm not saying your head. I know I've taught you that there's more. But your head agrees, oh yeah, there's more. But your life may not agree. You may not emotionally want to get all the sin out of your life today. How many want all sin out of your life today so it doesn't rule you? Praise God. That's good. That's powerful. So that's a good start, is you want. Now you believe in Jesus. Now you want to be a Christian, but you're still not one. But at least you want to. So that's you're in second grade now, but you're still not all the way. Amen? And then when you get to all the way, you're dead. You're dead. You are no longer existing. You are now the Word. You're just saying the Word, walking the Word, talking the Word. That's dead. You can't get there unless you die. The only way you can get through that last grade, pass the final exam, take your SAT, the only way you can get there is to be completely dead. When you're completely dead, and only God can do that, you cannot kill yourself. You cannot make yourself get a good grade. The teacher has to do that for you, in you, through you. He has to do it all. So you may have to take that test several times. How many know you can get dead and then pop the nails back out, push the cover off, and jump up again? You know, you can kind of resurrect yourself on a daily basis to your old man. How many have done that a little bit? You've revisited your old life. Every once in a while you break out in anger. Every once in a while you break out in lust and fear, jealousy and bitterness. And you become ego again. You become you. It feels good to be me again. you know, you go shopping and you're just lusting for stuff and envious of others and so on. How many know you can do that? After you're a Christian, you can still do that. But it's not the will of God. God wants you to be dead. So it takes a while to dead you. He kills you and then you jump up again like the Terminator guy thing. Where they jump up, keep jumping up. You kill them and they jump up. And so there's a kind of a jump up spirit in you. So does not want to die. I know I'm dead, but do you ever dream like this? I used to dream like this a lot. I would be falling down the mountain. I knew I was going to die, but I never did. I always was able somehow to make it. If I had to fly or whatever I had to do, I could do it in my dream. So I know some of you have where you die, but I never had those dreams. In my dreams, I never died. I was somehow able to get away from the monster. And, you know, if I had to fly, I'd fly. You know, I could stay just ahead of him. I could see him right behind me. He's going to try to get me. And so, but I never died. And so that was good. Otherwise, I'd have been petrified. Because sometimes dreams seem more real than reality. Right? But anyway, in my dreams, I always somehow made it, even though I would fall off or whatever the thing would be. Somehow I'd be like in the cartoons, you know, where they run the guy down and then he jumps up again. You know, the little roadrunner guy or whatever. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Or the fox or whoever the guy is. Cartoons are full of death and resurrection. I mean, almost every cartoon has that, where the guy gets mowed down. He just jumps up again for another trip at it. You know, some big stone will fall on the guy and crush him down to a pancake. In a few seconds, he'll dust himself off and get up again. That's a lot of you are like that. That's why it's funny. That's why you laugh. The reason you laugh is, oh my God, that's me. You don't know it, but that's why you're laughing. It's because, oh God, that guy got completely smashed, and yet somehow he resurrected. It'd be like you repenting and saying, boy, that's it. I'm not going to do that again. And then in a few minutes, you're doing it. Has that ever happened to you? Says, I have learned my lesson. Boy, that's it. I'm going to pray from now on. I'm going to go to church every time. I'm going to be there. You know, you make all those promises and you mean it. In that moment, you mean it. But 2 seconds later, something comes up and you forgot. I'm going to start treating Peg right. I mean, I've told you all those stories where I've made a determination. All right, that's it. When I go home, I'm going to say loving things. I'm going to be kind and loving. And I walk in the door and she'll say something mean or something, and that's it. It just, that thing just drains right out. It's gone. But I meant it. I was going to be nice. I was going to be a decent person for once. Has anybody had that? And it just somehow, when you meet the person in reality, it drains away. Has anybody had that? That's funny to me. That is funny. Because I meant it. I really did. Until I got in the house. Then that new circumstance, you know, changed. Anyway. So let's go on to perfection. Let's go on until we're just like Jesus. Because, verse 4, it's impossible, adunaton. A means opposite, so dunaton is like dynamite, power. So no power, impossible, not able. When you're in an impossible situation, have you ever been in an impossible situation like, it's impossible. I just can't pay it. I just can't do it. I just can't be it. You know, have you ever been in an impossible situation like, well, that's it. Okay, well, I've messed up. I had that happen this weekend down in Austin. You know, I went to propose something and everybody opposed me. And I just felt, wow, after 12 years of being on this group, I'm suddenly mud, because everybody attacked me. Everybody thought what I just said was worthless, and I was worthless. Man, and the thought passed my mind, quit. it just thought my mind, hey, I don't need this. You know, and I was stunned for, you know, several hours. I was stunned. It's like, how could they do that? I mean, I'm finished. I mean, I was going to be awesome. Did y'all hear that? Huh? No, David. Thank you for asking that. No, David actually stood with me. He was the only one, but it was weak. How many for this measure? I and David. I. But everybody else, nay. So I went down in flames. But anyway, I recovered. Recovered. I just went to God. God. I'm screwed up, a mess. It's impossible now. You know, no one respects me. I mean, these are Christians. These are, you know, nice people. They don't think that I had any wisdom or anything. They all just looked like me, like, you know, I had four heads or something. It's like, golly, I thought what I said was good, helpful, brilliant, awesome. And so I was finished, and I really did think about, well, I'm done. Right, I'm not going to come back. I should just get up right now and walk out. Teach them a lesson. But anyway, the next day, I was brilliant again. I was brilliant. And I not only recovered, but people come up and thank me. And then the people that had ditched me the day before come up and apologize. Said, you're not mad, are you? No. But I don't hate you anymore after your apology. You know. And so anyway, it was fun. But God is able to take impossible things and do reverse it. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? That is awesome. That is awesome. Because I could hardly breathe. I was like, well, I hate this thing. I'm not gonna do it anymore. I'm just not gonna participate. I quit. Did you ever get to that point where you just want to quit? You just want to give up. It ain't worth it. Ain't doing it anymore. That's it. I got a few marbles left. I'll keep them. And I'm not going to play. Anybody ever been there? You know, it's like arguing with your wife or something. You know, this is not fruitful. All right, that's it. I'm not going to discuss this anymore. And then you do it. All right. It's impossible to restore someone who, and now five things are going to be mentioned. Listen to these five things. These are awesome. Here they are. Once enlightened, photosthentos. Once enlightened. You know, once you've been enlightened, once you've seen the light. And how many here have said, yeah, that's me. That's number one. Number two, who have tasted of the heavenly gifts. Heavenly gifts. You got the gift of the Holy Ghost. You got heavenly gifts. Wow, it's impossible to restore somebody if they've once been enlightened. They've seen the gospel. They've seen Jesus. And you've tasted. You've experienced. You have become imbued with, endowed with heavenly gifts. How could that? It's impossible to restore that person. Three other things. And partakers who have become of the Holy Spirit. So if you've become a partaker of the Holy Spirit, now not only do you have, you know, once enlightened, now you're, you know, you're getting all this good stuff, heavenly gifts, and now partaker of the Holy Ghost, and two more. And tasted the good word of God. Man, you know the word of God. Well, yeah. It's just not working, but yeah, I know it. I know about it. Yeah, you know that too. Yeah. And the works of power of the coming age. Wow. So the age to come, the world to come, you've already tasted some of that miraculous power, glorious, loving, supernatural. How could you then fall away? How could you, peripateo, fall away? To peripateo is to walk away once you walked in the ways of the Lord. How could you walk away? How could you fall away? How could you deviate? How could you ever lose what you had when you were 7? When you were 12? When you were 16? When you were 32? How could you throw that away once you met the Lord? Could you go back? The Bible says it's impossible. For it's impossible to restore somebody who's tasted of the age to come, who's had the gifts of the Holy Spirit, who's you can't, because they already have everything. They already know everything. You can't give them anything new. They've tried everything. So this is a real problem. If you're once born again and then you fall away, it's impossible to restore such a one. I want you to hear this. I want you to hear this. It's not me. It's in the Bible. You can't do it. I didn't say it was impossible. The writer did. The Holy Ghost did. You can't restore them. Why? Because they've already heard the good news. And if that isn't enough, nothing is. You've already tasted the age to come. You've already fallen in love. You've already got everything. And if it didn't work, nothing's going to work. You're out. It's not going to happen. And who fall away again to renew them to repentance, crucifying for themselves the Son of God on their own. Wow. You just crucified Jesus. You just killed him. You just took over again. You're just operating in the flesh again. Now, this is not talking about the fact that people go up and down. This is talking about that if once you've had the good news, there's nothing more now to give the person than that. So it's like, I don't know what else to give you. Because you can't change your mind because you already did that before, and now it won't work. It won't work again. If that wasn't good enough, nothing's going to be good enough. Y'all hear it? So we're not talking about somebody who said, oh, I doubted today. No, we're not talking about psychological stuff like that. We're not talking about simple stuff. We're talking about basic, where you actually apostatize. Now, for some people, once saved, always saved. That's not in this verse. And it's in no other verse. You can actually start out and then quit, stop, turn back, apostatize, peripateo, walk away. So it's impossible, the Bible says, to restore such a person. There's no way to do it unto repentance again, because they already repented before. How are they going to repent this time? What more is it going to take? Well, God isn't going to give you any more. That's why it's impossible. Now, there's nothing more. The good news was that was it. So if that didn't do it, nothing's going to do it. You're now determined. Y'all follow that? Probably not, but anyway, so that's what it says. All right. This is what it says. For ground or soil or earth that has once received the rain, and then herbs have come up from it. And that's you. It's talking about, this is not talking about an unbeliever. Or it's not talking to somebody who's a God-fearer. This is talking about someone who's really born again. It's impossible if they then walk away or fall away to restore them. Now, that doesn't mean God couldn't do something. That just means you can't. And nobody else can. So, but this is talking about somebody who's truly tasted of the age to come. Like me. I truly have. I don't think I could ever fall away. But this one says, but if you did, you couldn't get yourself back. Because this is it. I don't really think about going back. I am not tempted to fall back. Yes, psychologically, every once in a while I forget and go back to my old self. But this is not deep. Because I can't stay there. The minute I go back and go shopping or something, I can't do it. I can't anymore fall back into the world. I'm ruined. God has ruined me for this world. I'm in love. Well, once you're in love, you're in love. You can't say, well, I'm not in love. No, once you are, it's over. So anyway, this is a very powerful concept and thought. And those that teach the other do so false. It's false. Once saved, always saved. It's not in the Bible. It's like once a Mason. This is where it comes from, by the way. Once a Mason, always a Mason. That's just a trick to keep you in the system. Once a Catholic, always a Catholic. You know, people just use this kind of nonsense to keep people tricked. Not true lie. So, no, you can start and not finish. And that's why would the Bible ever say repent if you're a Christian and you've already repented? You can't re-repent. So, once you've done that, then it's impossible to restore them. All right, listen. For the ground which drinks upon it often the coming rain and produces herbs, you know, fruit, fit for those for the sake of whom it was tilled. In other words, fit for somebody to eat. If that's the case, that the Word of God came and produced some good stuff, it's for somebody to consume it. And that's a wonderful blessing. That is a blessing from God. That's a blessing from God. Hope everybody here has had the blessing of God. You've eaten in such a way that you're satisfied. If not, it's okay. You cannot fall away because you never were there in the first place. So somebody said, well, I'm not sure about it. I was not, as a pastor, I was not sure. Even though I was teaching everything, I hadn't experienced it. I wasn't sure about it. I had reservations. I crossed my fingers I believe in Jesus. But I really hadn't figured it all out. I mean, you can go to seminary and not learn about God. Or you learn about it, but you don't really learn Him. They never converted me. When I was in Yale, I'm going to the top school in America, and they didn't teach me Jesus. They just taught me about, you know, Him, and they said, basically, we don't even know if He really lived, and if He did, He's probably just a man. And you know, they just taught me all that kind of stuff. So that's called liberal education. I mean, we didn't exalt praying and discipline and discipleship. There's none of that at Yale. If you passed all the courses, and I did, you're now a Christian pastor or whatever you were supposed to be. And so I was supposed to be a good one, and I wasn't. And I knew it, Jordan. I knew I really wasn't. I knew somehow this stuff is not my life. This is just something I believe in, but intellectually, it's not heart. My heart is not in this. I'm into tennis, reading books, showing off. I'm into gym. That's basic. I knew that I was not born again, like wanting to forgive people or wanting to love people. I wasn't into that. I was the same as I always was. I just had some new ideas, concepts. Is there anybody here like that? No, raise your hand, please. But if you're like that, that's okay, it's okay, it's okay. But you're maybe a God-fearer. I was definitely in seminary. That showed some fear of God, you know, trying to get right and figure the thing out. But until I came to Texas, that's where it happened, right here in Texas. Yeehaw! I got it down here where people are redneck, goat roper, you know, hypocrite people. I mean, this is where I got it, right down here. I love it. This is where God showed me the truth that set me free. I was coming down to check the Baptists out. I knew that they supposedly believed in Jesus, in the old conservative, fundamentalist, weird Bible-believing, thumping. That's what I wanted to look at. I already knew the liberals didn't believe anything. Obama, nothing. The guy's just like me. I can easily criticize him because I was worse than he is. But I knew he didn't believe anything. That kind of nonsense he was raised on at Harvard and Chicago and so on, it's nonsense. Well, I was the same. So how did I get out? I didn't get out. God sought me out, and I don't know how he got me. But I just found myself falling in love. Boom. It's like, wow, what happened? I've ruined my life. I'm over. You ever surrendered your whole life to God? That was the one thing I did not want to do. Like, give him everything. I wanted to be a pastor, be paid to baptize infants, confirm young people, marry when they get a little older, and then bury them. Those are the four things I wanted to do. And you get paid for that. You get paid nicely. And so it was a good job. You did four things and that was it. That was great. What a good deal. They didn't care what the sermons were. They didn't care about the doctrines and the teachings and all that. The people didn't care. Just as long as I baptized their babies, confirmed their young people, married them when they got a little older, and then buried them when they were dead. They were happy with that. That's what a minister's for. You all see that? So those four deals, that's the ritual thing. You wear a robe or a collar, whatever. They didn't care if it was green or pink. They didn't care about that. All they cared about is just do those four jobs. And people put the pressure on you to do those. And they pay you, too. They even give you little gifts for baptizing our little girl. Here's, you know, $50 or something. And it was great. What a great way to do it. Hey, have more. You know, get these babies baptized. It was a good deal. And man, I loved it. Weddings, you get, not only do you get paid, you get peanuts, you get to eat cake. I mean, it's great. I love those weddings because they got food. They put that food out. And as the pastor, you could go first. You could be the first one at the table. Oh, Reverend, please come through. So I loved it. I tried to get all of the cashews out of the peanut dish. Get as many cashews as I could get. Because those were $5 a pound or something, you know. So, right? Get peanuts, $2.50. Don't go for cashews. So, you know, there's rewards. And you used to get discounts and parking spaces and stuff as a minister. You know, it was really great being a pastor. And if you got a speeding ticket, the policeman would realize you were a pastor. He'd let you off. I mean, I was speeding once from Dallas to Fort Worth, and this policeman pulled me over. And I told him, sir, the reason is that the Dallas church kept me a little longer, and that's why I have to get back to the Fort Worth church. Oh, man of God, he says, go ahead, but just slow down. See, that was great. And so it's just like being a cute girl or something. Being a pastor was equal. It was equal to that. That's great. That's horrible. Sorry about that. But that ground that brings forth fire, thorns and thistles is rejected. It's a curse near to that which is ready for burning. But we are persuaded, the writer says, we are persuaded concerning you, beloved, better things and things connected with or accompanying salvation. Connected with, or in other words, yes, you're saved by believing in Jesus spiritually. But there's things that accompany it, sanctification, glorification. So we are persuaded of better things for you. You're not going to be like that falls away. You're going to be like those that go on to perfection. That's what this is all about. So I want somebody to stand up and say, that's good. That's what I needed to hear, is that there's more to it than just believing. I want to go on to perfection. I don't want sin in this world to run my life. I want Jesus to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Who would like to say that? Jack. Yes. Yeah, in this world. You know, so that's powerful. Because I'm useless for other stuff. I'm not an evangelist to get you saved over and over again every week. That's just not my thing. That Baptists do that. They get you saved every week. Golly, if they have blessed assurance Jesus is mine, they should just do it once and that'd be it. So the Catholics who don't even believe in that blessed assurance thing, they don't get you in. You see, you never know. Even when you die and you're Mother Teresa, you still don't know if you're a saint. You still don't know. And so they have a funeral dirge, you know, out of the depths, you know, and so on and so forth. And I mean, it's morbid because they're not sure you made it. You could be a pope and they're still not sure. And later they may canonize you, but you don't know while you're alive, and even after you're dead, they have to check you out. Because what if at the last second Mother Teresa had a little bit of pride? Just as she was dying, she might have thought, you know, I helped a lot of people. By God, I'll be up there. What if that thought passed through her mind as she was dying? You see, you're out. And so they have to check them out. I'm sure she's a saint. Is she a saint? I mean, did they make her one? I'm sure she did. But my point is that they don't have that blessed assurance thing. But you don't need any of that. All you need is the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? The Word of God says God loves you just as you are. Just as you are. Don't change. Don't fix. Just be. And God is the one who's good, and He wants you in. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's amazing. Put all the weight on God. Don't put any weight on you. All right. Now we're almost done here. For not unrighteousness is God to forget your work and the labor of love which you did show to His name, having served the saints, and you are still serving. Okay, God isn't unmindful of that, but I'll tell you what, you don't go to heaven because of it. The reward you get is not that you did all that. The reward you get is that He did all that, and that's the joy, is that you're no longer you. You're now His person. I mean, the reward is you get the inheritance of the promise. But you don't get it because you did those things. But because you believed in the reward of the promise, those things happened as proof to the world. And so that's a sign that you're truly a believer. But it doesn't get you into heaven. It just gets others into heaven. But we desire each of you the same, to show diligence to the full assurance of the hope unto the end. You see the unto the end? You see that little word, unto the end? In other words, having assurance, you have to keep it. You have to keep it. That's my job, is to encourage you never to give up, never to lose hope, never to be discouraged. Your sins will be forgiven. So don't be discouraged because you sin. That isn't going to keep you out of heaven. Jesus died for that. That law is not going to come up. You're not under the law. You're under grace. Just don't lose your faith in God. Don't lose your hope. Don't keep that assurance. So that's something you could lose if you see the devil came along and started accusing you. So don't listen to him. Don't listen to him. And it's my job, not yours, it's my job to encourage you all the time. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. So you have to encourage yourself as, oh yeah, yeah, thank you for reminding me. That's all. That's all I'm doing. I'm just reminding you again and again how good God is and how you can sin and be forgiven. Where are we? Because be imitators, this is the last part of 12, that don't be sluggish, but be imitators of those who through faith, pisteos, and long patience, makrothumios, what? Inherit the promises of God. Wow. You see, you are the inheritors of the promises of God. I know that, I know that, I know that. I'm going to inherit. Why? Because it's not up to me. It's up to Him to tell the truth or not to tell the truth. It's up to me to believe that He told the truth or not to tell the truth. Now listen to this. This is the clincher. For to Abraham, God having promised, since by no one he had a greater one to swear, swore by himself. So God promised to Abraham, I will give to you and to your seed this good news. Wow. And it's one-sided. There was no condition tied to it. You're not going to heaven because you're any good. You're going to heaven because God is good. You're not going to heaven because you're good. You're going to heaven because God is good. You're not going to heaven because you're strong. You're going because God's strong. You're not going to heaven because you're, you know, creative or, you know, a genius or whatever. Or because you sinned. That has nothing to do with anything. It has to do with God didn't sin. And He doesn't lie. Now, there are two things, and this is the close. There are two things in which God cannot lie. One, when He raised His hand, He swore a promise and made an oath that confirmed the promise. So He not only said, I promise you, it's my pleasure to give you the kingdom. You can have that just by believing. Number two, and I swear that if that's not the case, I cease to be God. All the punishment will fall on me. So now you have my promise and my oath. Two things that are immutable, can never be changed. They are so solid, so rock solid, that there's no possibility you could start on the foundation and not finish the house, because God has promised. So the good work He began in you, He will surely, absolutely, without doubt, complete it. And so that baby, that little baby you just brought into the world, you know what? That baby is going to become mature, an adult. Well, you can't promise that, but He can. God can promise that baby will grow up. She'll be a mighty woman of God. It's going to be great, awesome. Her brother's going to teach her all kinds of wonderful things. And I love those kind of promises. I want to know if I'm going to inherit. What if I die before the one who made the promise? What if I die? Then I don't get it. I was given a promise, but there's no oath that says it'll come to me if I die. So He has to not only promise to give me it, but He has to promise that I won't die until I get it. That's amazing. You all see that? Let's say somebody has $1 billion and they give it to you, but you have to be age 30 and you die at 29 and a half. You don't get it. You see that? I mean, what good is a promise unless there's an oath tied to it that said, it's my pleasure to give you the kingdom. You're going to get it. Wow, that's what I want to hear. You mean there's nothing I can do to get it? No. Nothing I can do to unget it? No. You mean it's totally not up to me? Right. Cool. Okay, go over the promise again. How good is it? You get everything. You marry my son Jesus, you know, you're going to rule and reign, and the devils will be subject to you. I mean, everything is yours. Do I get the cashews? Yeah, cashews. Cashews, they're thrown into the deal. That means a lot to me. It means a lot to me. I love that stuff. It's good. So, y'all see that everything, God has everything rigged so that you win. If that isn't good news, what is? The best has been saved to the last. Let's say you experience certain losses in this world. Don't even regard them. Jesus will make up for it. The more you suffer in this world, don't worry about it. He'll make up for it. If you suffered in this world, it'll all be just in the next. He'll figure it out. Don't even think about it. Don't even complain about it. Don't even worry about it. Everything's working for you. Unless God lies. And He cannot. He can't lie. He's got two things that can never change. The promise and the oath that He made with that promise. You are going to receive it. You're not just going to hear it. You're going to receive it and enjoy it. I didn't promise it to you so that you die. I know everything. I know if you're going to live or die. I guarantee your life. You may die, but you'll resurrect. You're going to be inheritor of this promise. That's great. Those two things can't be changed. You will never die. Even though you physically die, you cannot die. You will get your inheritance. That's too powerful. That makes you joyous. No one can take it. You can't lose it. All right. So, God is good. God is great. God is awesome.